You're listening to The Big Show with George Russick and Matty Rose on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Hour number three, it's The Big Show, Russick and Rose. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Powered by MortgagesToGo.ca. Always the lowest interest rates in Canada since 2004. Visit MortgagesToGo.ca. Bottom of the hour, Brad Moran, general manager, head coach of the Calgary Canucks. Your buddy?
My buddy. Teammate, I was 16, 17. It was just last year, overage, with a hitman. It's one hell of a hockey player.
There you go.
Two numbers to be retired by the hitman.
Yep.
Good veteran presence.
Great veteran presence.
I bet. We'll talk to him at 8:30. You're going to have to
carry the mail.
Really carry the mail on that interview.
Sure. I got one question lined up for him.
Okay.
That's one. Perfect. Excellent news.
Sweet.
Yeah. All right,
Brad.
Yeah. We're just going to need 2 to 3 minutes of your time and carry on.
Yeah. Hey, I've done that before. Like, I've had people on for like 3 minutes. I'm like, this is
boring.
Going nowhere. I gotta shut things. It's like, that's it. I'm like, yep, have a great day. Like, I've asked you 10 questions in 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And they just one word answers.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure, I guess. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, how about
no.
that? Darn,
you know, that's
it.
Interesting.
Yes. Good question.
That's the voice of Mr. Brent Crum. He is our Big Show Flames.
Julian discovered that last night.
The Cobra. Don't talk about it.
One more time.
Brent
Crum
is courtesy of whom, Mr. Brent Crum?
Brent Crum is brought to you by All Kind Door Services Limited, your go-to service company for the last 35 years, offering 24-hour emergency service. For all your door repairs, anything that swings, slides, or rolls, call 403-266-1411.
Intern Simon, can you come here for a sec? Can you come into the studio, please?
What are you going to do? Accost him?
No, I want intern Simon. Can you please read Brent Cron's read for him? I want to see who did it better.
Yeah.
Oh, he's going to go into his mic.
You can do it
he's going right to his mic.
All right, go to your mic.
He doesn't want my filthy mic.
Oh, he's coming back.
No, he wants it. Yeah, you do it right there. Do it right there, Simon.
Right
in front of Brent Crum so he can watch you do it.
Watch how a pro does it.
Hey, get close to the mic. You're in broadcasting. You know you got to get close to the mic.
Keep in mind, I'm doing this cold.
Okay. It's called rip and read in the business.
Rip and read.
Brent Crum is brought to you by All Kind Door Services Limited, your go-to service company for the last 35 years, offering 24-hour emergency service for all your door repairs and anything that swings, slides, or rolls. Call 403-266-1411.
It's pretty
I'd
good.
I'd say you did it better. I'll give that one to you.
I would also second that I did it. Yeah. Great job, though.
Great job. Good rip and read, Simon.
He needs some whiskey and some cigars.
Simon will be joining us later with another Masters read, the Sportsnet 960 Masters Pool.
You should, live. Sign up, Crum.
I will, actually.
Good.
I'm going to do it.
Under Brent Crum.
Yeah.
Brent Crum.
That's what I'm going to do. Do you have to create aliases when you go on
there? No, you can just name your team whatever.
Well, you can name it Brent Crum.
Mine's Pimento Cheese Sandwich.
Oh, that is you. Okay. Yeah.
How much does it cost to enter?
It's free.
You can win a safe.
From Calgary Lock and Safe.
Done.
Do you want details about it?
I'd love details about it.
Simon, can you tell us about that, please?
Get ready for the excitement of the Masters at Augusta. Who will seize the prestigious green jacket? You can win too by joining the Sportsnet 960 Masters Pool. It's free to enter. Just head to the sportsnet.ca/960 contest page. Make your picks and you could snag an USCAN Designer Series safe from Calgary Lock and Safe, valued at over $550. On the golf course, mastering putting is key to victory. In business, mastering access control ensures success. Protect your business with a master key system from Calgary Lock and Safe.
I just have the Masters music in the background the whole time.
The whole time.
It's so cheesy.
What a great read, though. He's got a voice for reads, ripping reads.
You want
I think you spelled sandwich wrong here, Patty.
Yeah, I probably did.
Sandwich wrong?
Yeah, I think I did.
It's two words. First word, sand.
No. I spelled I spelled witch the witch way, not the sandwich witch way.
Oh.
W-I-W-H-I-T-H?
Yeah.
T-C-H?
No. W-H-I-C-H.
Yeah.
Witch. Which is which? Classic Scooby-Doo episode. So good. Never forget
it.
Great job, Simon. We'll
and me. And Pat.
Yeah, we're going to change that.
It's a little sing-songy, but that's okay.
We won't dive into
it.
Yep.
Compliment sandwich.
Oh.
Sandwich.
There's ways I can help you out with that. All right. You can leave the Master.
Yeah.
Flames. Flames with a three. Yes.
Yeah.
The Flames with a 3-2 overtime victory last night at the Shark Tank, Mr. Brinkron.
Hello,
Andre
friend.
Kuzmenko.
The Sharks hit a Magnolia.
A guy that they should lock down long term to 8 to 10 years. 6-game point streak. Yeah. And actually, our Pat Steinberg said something last night that really caught my attention. It really piqued my interest.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, he was dealing with a seized up back.
Well, that's tough.
And he was sick.
Don't want that.
And now all of a sudden, he's feeling good.
Yeah.
He's feeling spry out there. He's loosey-goosey. Guy's got 6 points in 6 games.
Six-game
point streak, excuse me. And that's been Calgary's best line the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. And he's looked good. We've talked about him. The deception in his game, his passes. You know,
the way he protects the puck like Jaromir Jagr.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Or Peter Forsberg.
Yes, we've had a lot of conversations off air about this. And it's gone quite in depth. gets the OT winner last night in a game that, you know, I thought was going to be over after the second goal. Battled back Kuzmenko, you know, that back. You see a lot of guys that I played with over the years that are retired too that have really bad backs now.
Mm.
And it's crippling. Right. So if you have a tight back when you play, all the heat packs and massages and all the treatment guys got to get to limber that up, loosen it up. Maybe that's helping him. Maybe he's a free bird now. And he can flap his wings and he can score 6 points in 6 games because he can stand erect for the first time in a while. Right.
Thank you for that drop.
Mm-hmm. You can just cut that one up, JVP. Yeah,
cut that one up right away.
That's good. Yeah, we'll just hold on to that one forever.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's great.
He has looked good.
He has, actually. I've been impressed.
He really has. And Kadri's been great. Like, again, for a season that's been so tumultuous, so up and down, Kadri's been their most consistent forward, and it's not particularly close.
No, and, you know, it's nice to see him play with a bit of passion, too, and a bit of emotion. Like, you know, the year prior with Kadri in particular, he just kind of looked very frustrated, a little empty. Tank was empty. Like, he just didn't want to push.
There were moments of being engaged, and you're like, wow, look at him. And there were other moments where you're like, oh, he won a cup, didn't he?
Yeah, you know, and this season, I mean, he's been phenomenal, right? And Pospisil, and that when they started the season off with Zari and Pospisil and Kadri on that line, like they were humming and they were engaged and they were going and it was just nice. It's just nice to see him have that. I'm sure it feels good for him too, right? The circumstances are different and he's been an impactful player with the team and he's obviously a veteran player, so he doesn't have to walk the line nearly as much when he's got a few other guys out there that can do the kind of things similar and he's scored goals. He's been fun to watch this season. I really really enjoyed watching him play.
What did you think of that Pospisil hit from behind?
Do you want to just recycle what we've said earlier in the season? Or?
Yeah. You know, that's the thing. And because if it was Pospisil, would everybody be getting as worked up about it too or no? What do you think?
If it was somebody else?
Yeah, like delivering the hit.
No.
It was Jonathan Huberto with that hit.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Yeah, right? It's just...
Once again, there's a certain point where if I'm the player engaging, I expect the defender to move.
You know, and I can't... You sit there and there's just certain things that you just, after a while, you become cognizant of how often you say it. I used to snap watching this where guys would just stand not expecting to get hit. Guys are forecheck pressuring them and they just stand there and they're expecting guys to turn away, right? Like that's...
They're expecting a beer league check.
Yeah, a stick check.
An Andre Kuzmenko check.
I'm going to allow you to make your play and then I'm going to cushion you with my arms and I'm going to slowly push you into the boards. And we're both going to go into it, and then we'll carry
that
on.
Sounds nice.
And then someone else is going to come in and take the puck,
right.
And we'll disengage. It's going to be lovely.
It's going to be sweet, and then we're going to go for dinner afterward, right? And we're going to talk about how much fun we had playing, right? Like, it's a hard game to play. It's fast. It's, you know, the ice size hasn't changed. The speed of the game has. And so you don't see nearly as much... You know, care with the players. They're just assuming that, you know what, I'm just going to get rid of the puck and nobody's going to hit me. Who did Pospisil hit? I'm trying to think which game it was. I think it might have been the Oilers Saturday where they scored, or it could have been the Ducks, or where he pasted Zegras.
On the Fowler goal.
Yeah, Zegras passes the puck and he's just like, oh,
watching.
What a nice pass I made. Bam! And right against the wall. And I mean, that was a bit of a late hit, but pay attention out there. Like, understand what's coming. And even if there's 4 games left in the season, and you both have nothing to play for. A guy like Pospisil plays the game one way. Like, it's off or on. It's not at 60%. It's not at 30%. It's I'm coming. And that's the tough part with him is you, I'm sure Huska and the guys on the bench are like, hold back. But you got to let him play. The minute you start making him think about everything all the time, it affects his play. But yeah, you got to protect yourself.
We crap on the officials, but I thought they did a great job. Yeah. That was a penalty.
For sure.
It was a boarding penalty, but I think it was the right call. It was just 2 minutes. And then the official explained it. Hey, you know, you got to move. You're there for 3 seconds with your numbers. Move your feet.
Yes.
So I thought that was a great job by the officials last night. Clearly a penalty, no question, but 2 minutes was the perfect penalty for that situation.
There's also, I think, a certain level of, you know, possible learning. You compare that to what he did to Vince Dunn.
Yeah.
He definitely let up a little bit more on this player. But I go back to, at some point, I think that Pospisil is kind of surprised. I said this about the Dunhead, and I think yesterday was the same thing, that after he engages, he kind of throws his hands in the air because it's like,
Move,
do something.
Yes.
Get out the way.
Or like turn a corner, like do anything. Yeah. Like protect yourself.
That was good. I like that.
It was good.
Get out the way.
But that you're 100% right. It's like, do something. Like, I'm forecheck. Do you just want to take, you want to get, I don't know, boarded? That's not even.
Is that what you wanted?
You're getting boarded.
You want to be hit directly into the board?
Directly.
Right? Like,
bunch of pirates coming on. You'll get boarded, bro. Come on.
Exactly, right? The Coast Guard is coming.
Yeah.
To the shark tank.
Head on a swivel, bud.
How tough was it for Wolf last night just standing there for two periods?
Man. Those are tough games, but those are harder games to play than
like,
you.
Do you hate that as a goalie?
Yes.
Like you hate it? Like I'm not getting any action here. Probably going to win my game, but also like I'm just standing here. Like how do you deal with that?
Well, especially when you get a power play in the final 90 seconds.
Well, the tough part though too is you know, when you get 30, 40 shots, you're in the game. You're kind of, you know, that Winnipeg game where they were playing against the Jets there, where he had whatever it was, 44 or 45 shots. I mean, they didn't win the game, but you're constantly, you got to be good. You got to stop the puck. The games where you don't get as much and the game is close, right? Like, you know, the Flames kind of took the game over after the second goal by the Sharks. And so you're sitting there and the team's trying to get momentum. They're trying to get more. And you know what? San Jose's going to get one or two shots that are really good, right? And you're just preparing. Like, you don't want to get too far ahead of it. You know, you get Mackenzie Blackwood. He's getting shots. They're kind of got San Jose hemmed in. And in your mind, you just have to be ready for the next one, whatever that may be. But that's hard when you're sitting there for, I mean, pretty much 30 minutes there where he had like 8 shots the remaining of the game. And it's like Marty Brodeur was so good at it, right? He played on a great New Jersey Devils team. He would get anywhere from 15 to 25 shots, and 25 was high. But he could make those one or two saves that allowed New Jersey to win games 2-1, 3-2. You look at guys like, you know, I think it was Luongo too. He's a great goalie. When he was in Florida early on in his career, he was getting shelled 45 shots a game, and he was their best player. And then he goes to Vancouver. And you're expected to win now, too, right? Where in Florida, yeah, I know I'm going to get 40 shots. We're not going to win. That's a tough mentality to be there every season. But then when you go to a team that wins and gives up 20 shots a night, and you can't let in any bad goals because in Florida it didn't matter, but in Vancouver it really does.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different mentality, and it's all part about going through, being a number one goaltender, but just being a National Hockey League goalie, right? All these different scenarios. I played with guys, you know, in throughout my career where you knew guys, if they got under a certain amount of shots, it was just very hard for them to stay focused. They needed to be kept into the game. They needed to make saves early in order to build confidence. And this was a game for Wolf too last night where it was a good test. Even though he wasn't tested a bunch, he just stuck with it and didn't give up any bad goals and played solid.
How crazy is it that's his first road win in the NHL?
Well, he got his first win in the National Hockey League against San Jose last year.
Right.
And then he gets his first road win against San Jose this season. I think it's a useless stat, but it's pretty cool for him.
He's probably throwing games on the road, right?
For sure he was.
Yeah,
yeah, I know. Absolutely, right? Mm-hmm. He's lock of the day, right? He listens to the stuff, and he's just like, you know what? Let's go here, right? But no, I thought he had one already. I honestly did. But then when they mentioned that, I was like, huh, well, okay.
I guess.
Yeah.
If you're Ryan Huska in the Flames, do you ask yourself, where the hell's this power play been the entire year?
And they're moving it, and they're snapping it around, too. Like, they're a bit more dynamic, and they have a bit more familiarity. Didn't they have 4 forwards out there one time, too?
That was in overtime.
Yeah. Overtime.
I love that. I mean, would they do that probably throughout the regular season? Who knows? But it was full-on scramble mode in front of the net, and Kuzmenko got it. But their entries are better, right? You know, they don't have a guy that can just blow in, too. Like, they don't have a guy with crazy speed that can just carry the puck in and get set up. They got a move it around the neutral zone and make that first run and then pass it back and push the defenders back to the blue line. Then they drop it and then they
do
come
it
in
as the tandem and make the little 6-foot pass up the ice.
Yeah, the flying V.
Yeah,
right?
Something
like
that.
We've all seen stuff like that. Just got to stay onside. But you know, it's nice to see some confidence, right? They've been putting the biscuit in the basket, and you know, 2 goals on the power play again last night. Like that's something that just they can build off at the end of the year, where they have some chemistry with guys and things have been going well. And it was tough on Weegar not being out there on the power play.
Did you see how sad he was when he had to sit down?
Man, I felt bad for him. I'm like, you know what, the Weeg dog has poured his heart and soul out this season.
Oh, he almost walked through the whole team for 20 at the start of the third.
I know, right? But it was a good experiment. It's overtime. You got 4 skaters on the ice. Why not go for it?
I love watching that Weegar Miramanov pair.
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't know what I'm getting every shift. It's fun to watch.
Yes.
There's just a lot of chaos out there.
How do you feel about the Miramanov sliding to break up the play? He got a tripping penalty for it, and we can debate the penalty. But what do you think about just having, like, he goes down and does that play a lot.
I know. You want to keep your guys on their feet as much as possible.
Yeah.
Like that's the thing.
Why do players do that?
Oh, it's desperation, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of times, if you time it right, I mean, it's a great play. But you're always told to stay on your feet as much as possible because you take yourself right out. Like, if that puck gets over or through or under or whatever.
Bounces off you and right back to the player.
Right. I mean, we've seen that happen, I think it was against St. Louis, too, with you know, it just changes. It's not a very, the percentages on that play, I don't think, work out very well, right? And it's a bit of a desperation. Like, what do I do? And I'll just come at you. I don't like it. You know, when it works, it's perfect. It's great, but you can take out your goalie too, right? You can take out your other D-man. Like, it's a chaotic move.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's well-timed, the guys know what they're doing, then they'll get it figured out. So, I mean, I'm not a big fan of it, but once again, when it works, it's the best, right? So, that's what it is.
That's the voice of Mr. Brent Cron, Big Show Flames analyst. You're going to turn from analyst to interviewer.
Yes.
With our next guest.
Yeah, I am.
Coming up after the break. The head coach of the Calgary Canucks, who are off to the AJHL final.
Yes.
And he's
White
a former teammate of yours.
Yes, he is.
And he's a guy that you're going to interview next. You're going to be carrying the mail on that. Do you feel a lot of pressure?
No. Okay. I'm Iceman when it comes to this kind of stuff.
Calm as a cucumber.
Calm as a cucumber over here.
Something, pressure, diamonds,
yep.
Something.
Yeah.
All right, we'll talk to Brad Moran next. It's the Big Show, Russick and Rose, Sportsnet 960, The Fan. It's the Big Show, Russick and Rose, Sportsnet 960, The Fan, powered by mortgagestogo.ca. Always the lowest interest rates in Canada since 2004. Visit mortgagestogo.ca. We still got lots to do here in the 8:30 segment of our program. We're going to do our lock of the day, courtesy of our friends at Metal Supermarkets Calgary. We have a guest in studio, too. Going to talk a little bit of wine.
Yes. Good buddy of mine.
Tis the season.
Can't wait for that.
Isn't it always wine season?
It feels like Masters. I'm going to drink some wine while I watch
you drink
Masters.
Wine, Matty?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah?
Yep.
Here's a connoisseur.
Honestly, not a lot I won't drink.
Speaking of the Masters, did you know that this is the most popular week for men to get a vasectomy in the United States?
Yes, I am aware.
Because the Masters is on, so they can ice their marbles?
Better book mine right away. Yeah. Wow. See if I can get in.
Long line.
Might be a wait. Yeah. What a waste.
Grab a ticket, sir.
Yeah, we'll get you when we get
there. What a waste that would be.
Yeah, it would be.
Way to spit in the face of God, Cron.
Truly.
Settle down.
That is Mr. Brent Cron, courtesy of whom?
Brent Cron is brought to you by All Kind Door Services Limited, your go-to service company for the last 35 years. Offering
He's
emergency.
Brad Moran. Relax.
Offering 24-hour emergency service. For all your door repairs, anything that swings, slides, or rolls, call 403-266-1411.
There you go.
I'm getting a little pompous, a little cocky back here, aren't I?
Are you going to cover the Alberta division, the BCHL playoffs too?
No.
No. No, we're not going to do that.
No, we don't talk about the Alberta Five.
They left.
They left us.
And I don't think, are they even doing playoffs for them? I don't think that they are. I think it's just exhibition.
They don't really have an official season for them.
Yeah, I don't know.
Let's talk to the general manager and the head coach of the Calgary Canucks, Brad Moran, joining us here on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Brad, good morning. How are you?
Good. Good morning, guys.
Take us through the genesis of when Brent Cron texts you to come on the show and your first reaction.
A little bit of disbelief, obviously. I hear a giggle in my head when I get a text. It kind of comes out of my phone.
It's true, right? You know, we're pumped to have you on. Brad, we really are. You guys have had a tremendous season this year. You're in the finals now.
For the first time since 1998.
First time since 1998. I forgot to read that in my notes. You know, I was going to, you know, playing with you, you were always a very calm, cool, and collected customer, very composed. Since you moved behind the bench, have you had any snap shows? Have you ever lost your mind?
Or
like, I'm just curious, because I know you one way as a fierce competitor, composed, poised, but have you changed since you've been behind the bench?
I don't think so. I think calmer as the days have gone on, I think in anything, when you first start out, I think it's a learning curve big time, and then you kind of become, realize just to be yourself, and I think that calmness kind of can help the guys, and you find when you lose it, the players kind of lose it, and it's not a good thing.
I wanted to ask you about a couple of players on your team here, Brad. Easton Houston's eligible for the upcoming draft. He's been mentioned by Central Scouting. Bowden Singleton's having himself just a hell of a year as well. Tell us a little bit about these players and what they mean to your team.
Huge parts of our team. I think Bowden obviously led us in scoring, and his playoffs have been phenomenal. I think he's really found his game. When we need offense, he has definitely stepped up, and he steps up off the ice too as our captain. And Easton, been with us a couple of years, and coming in as a rookie was really good last year, but this year took steps forward as a 6'4" defenseman that can skate, and I think that's what gets people's interest. Is the game is getting faster when you have the guys with that kind of size that can really skate and make decisions, it opens a lot of eyes.
Brent, I wanted to ask you, because you played with Brad in his overage season with the Hitmen, how do you remember Brad as a player?
Brad was a great leader. I'm going to pump your tires here, Bugsy, just for a quick second. I was a young guy coming into the Western Hockey League, very quiet guy, had a lot of presence in the room. Guys got along with guys, and was one of those guys, too, you could count on, right, when things weren't going great. We had a great team that year, too, right? As you remember, we lost in the conference final to Kootenay, and I remember playing my very first game in game 5 when the building was sold out and I got pulled. I felt so bad, and I don't even know if you remember this, Bug, but you came over and tapped me on the pads, and after the game we'd lost and out of the finals, and you just came by and tapped me on the pads, and even though it was just something that small, it meant a great deal to me. I always thought you were a tremendous leader, and I always looked up to you a ton, and happy to see you're having success behind the bench.
Okay, that's interesting. That's really good stuff, and it's probably going to make this question harder for Brad to answer. Brad, I was going to ask, who is the most like Brad Moran on your team right now?
Oh, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
It's too bad Brent had to go and wax poetic. He could have just made it short and simple, and all of a sudden the question's easy, but all of a sudden you got a hard one here.
You know what? I think we've built the team with guys that it's more of a quiet confidence than a rah-rah group, I think. And I'm going to say our leadership as a whole is fairly good at welcoming guys in or understanding situations with players, who needs picked up, who needs a tap on the pads or a pat on the back. And, you know, I'm going to say as a leadership group, they're very, very, in tune with what needs to be said and done.
Brad, how much have players developed speed and skill-wise from when you and Cron played in the Dub? Because it's seemingly now at every level, just the skill is just off the charts.
I think, yeah, the speed and skill of every single player in junior or not is, I think, way further ahead than when I played. I think it's amazing what they can do skill-wise. I think the thing that lacks a little bit now, I think, is the hockey IQ, because it's a highlight reel that they're watching. They don't watch the games as much, in my opinion, and pick up the small details of the game. It's just the stick handling, the goals, the fancy stuff.
If Brent Cron was trying to get into the league today, how would his career have gone compared to how it actually went?
Oh, Brent's a good goalie. We all make fun of him, but yeah, he would be just fine. He would be just fine.
He likes to remind us he does really well in the alumni skates.
Crushes it. I crush it. And you know what? It's tough, Bugsy, because, you know, like, you played in an era, too, where you You put up a ton of points. You were a responsible two-way player. The game was a lot tougher back then. Do you find guys too, like, you know, you're that they don't have to battle through that physical adversity? What are some of the things that guys nowadays at this level that they have to battle through and overcome with without having the physicality that we've grown up with?
I think just so much information,
yeah,
and the how that weighs on you mentally. Like, these guys know exactly how much they played after a game. They know what other guys have played. They know every stat on every player anywhere in the world. So that you look at that and then you start to think, well, why am I not getting this? Or you start comparing. And I think if they can really focus on not getting caught up in that kind of stuff, it really helps them.
I wanted to ask just what kind of Brad Moran's aspirations are. How is coaching treating you? What do you want to see this as a future? Obviously, going from playing and into coaching, hockey means a lot to you, but what does the future look like for you? How do you envision it?
I don't know. I think it's been a grind the last, we'll say, 6 years, and now when we've started to turn the corner, it gets a whole lot more fun when you have some success and when you could start putting together a program that can be successful year over year, or whether that's moving on long term, we'll focus on now and then try to let things take care of themselves as we proceed.
Bug, as you guys get into the final here, you might get a few more fans popping up in Calgary coming to watch the game. What do you say this team's identity is, the Canucks that you've kind of built here? What are we looking for? What are we seeing from players? How do you guys play the game?
I think it's a skilled, fast team that they can play physical when needed, but I think the biggest thing is they never quit. I think we've been down in games this year, and they just continue to press two, three goals down and just keep going and find our game when we need to. I think we've got the top goalie in the league and a steady decor and good forwards that mix in and get the job done. So fast and skill, but I think we're playing the right way right now, and that's led to our success.
And then what are you expecting here from the White Court Wolverines in the final?
Obviously, first place team. They're very good defensively. I think the top defensive team in the league. They don't give you much, and they've got some guys that can put the puck in the net. So, you know, we played them, I think, 2-2 this year, mostly one-goal games. Tale of two rinks. We've got a little bit bigger ice. They've got a small, darker type rink where they really play well. So we try to make sure we can adapt to do different styles of games.
They have an old barn. It's dark and it's dingy, and you know that those
kind of smells.
You know, I remember when we'd go to the playoffs and my first year, and we were playing against Kootenay in that old crushed, well, not crushed can, but that small building that they had. And we'd do the three-line shooting, and you guys would do the hard shots along the ice, and I'd deflect them over the glass and basically pick people off in the stands because they couldn't move. It was so tight. I love those old barns. But last one from me, Bug. Just back to all the changes in hockey from when you played to what it is now. From the coaching perspective, how do you coach guys? Because, you know, before you could just kind of treat everybody as the same and yell and scream and kick garbage cans. How have you had to adapt? And, you know, what do you do with the boys here now in this era?
I think a lot more conversation, a lot more why, with the details they have at their fingertips. They're watching their shifts. They want to know why this, why that. Make sure everything is good on and off the ice. I think we have to treat them with respect. They have a lot of options now. We players, you know, you have to make sure they're bought in, but at the same time, and accountable, but make sure they're not just having a foot out the door and looking for the next option if you call that out. And I think that's, we've been able to do that fairly well, but you can see that the loyalty, I'm not saying with my team, but is not where it once was where, hey, this is your team, you play with it. It's, guys are always looking maybe for the grass is greener, and it's not.
Brad Moranzi, general manager, head coach of the Calgary Canucks. Best of luck in the AJHL final. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks for having me, guys.
There he is on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. There you go. Our junior hockey coverage.
Love it.
Which we don't do a ton of on this show.
I know. Canucks have had a great year. We've talked about them, couple locks of the day, and they've come through.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And it's funny because I remember the first time I did the lock of the day, and I said the Calgary Canucks are going to win. And I text Bug that I was at the game, you know, night prior, and he's like, I told the guys we were down in the second period. Cron picked us as the lock of the day. Right? Carry a big stick around here. That's my...
The way some things can motivate kids. Unbelievable.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You're
it
like,
all worked
who's
out.
Who's Brent Cron?
Yeah, oh, I know.
Candy, video games, and Brent Cron's gambling advice.
Wait, some guy in an AM radio station said what? What's AM radio?
Well, you know what? It's so funny, though, too. Even when you go on the ice with kids, obviously nowadays, there's different eras, but you know, I'm talking about goalies I grew up watching with. I'm like, oh, like Grant Fuhr, Mike Vernon, or
Don Beaupre. We talked about
Don Beaupre.
Donnie
awesome.
Beaupre
with that mask of his.
Oh yeah,
yeah. He didn't have the cat eyes. He had the cage.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he was in Washington. I think he was in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. He had some good gear. Remember Byron Defoe too?
Oh yeah.
We could do this for
Lord Byron.
Lord Byron.
He's from England.
Yes.
And Lord. His nickname was Lord Byron.
That's so good.
Do you know anything about this? Pete Vandermeer's texted in again. Yes, he has.
Oh, we got to get him on. Seriously, he's a riot. Except well, I have to brace myself because he will literally verbally assault me for about 30 minutes.
I feel like he wants to come on. He keeps texting in. He asked, does Moran remember lighting the corral on fire with fireworks for the Hitman first home opener?
Oh, man. We should have asked him that. What time, Pete, what time did you get up?
He just texted in right now. He just rolled out of bed.
Hey,
we were, yeah.
Pete's cruising for a block.
What are you talking about? What?
You should tell him that
That's
yourself.
That's a good text.
Yeah. Cruising for a block, Pete.
Why?
You know what? It was funny last summer.
He's distracting Brent Cron.
Scaring me, actually. Not distracting.
Okay,
scaring
scary,
me.
No.
Okay.
It's funny, too, because last year we were all golfing. And one of my buddies hit him in the back with a golf ball, a hole up.
God, why?
Well, because we couldn't see him. He was in the bushes.
Okay.
And then he comes out, and it's Paul Cruz and Pete Vandermeer. I'm like, oh, no.
Of all people.
And it was my buddy who did it, but they just assumed it was me. The rumor on the golf course was Brent Cron hit Pete Vandermeer in the back with a golf ball. He didn't beat me up, but he could have if he wanted to. If we weren't such close buddies.
Yeah, I bet.
He wouldn't beat the wheels off of me.
He just wrote, bleepers, I'm coming in.
Oh, God. We're only going to be here for 15 more minutes.
Get off
Pete,
the air right now.
Pete, you'll have to get through John in security first.
Yeah. How old's John?
He's upstairs.
John's having a nap.
We'll do our lock of the day brought to you by Meadow Supermarkets Calgary to wrap up the show. But we have a special guest.
Very special.
In studio. Curtis McBride is from 689 Cellars, and he joins us here on the Big Show. Curtis, thanks for this. How are you?
Good to be here, guys. I could only imagine how the banter would go drinking a little 689 wine between y'all.
Well
it
done.
Definitely, I think, smooth things over a little bit, that's for sure.
Open
but
up
really
the palate.
Great to be here.
If there's one thing I've noticed about my man, Brent Cron, he is definitely a wine connoisseur.
He definitely helps the cause, and that's what we like about him. He definitely gets it done for us. So
moves a little
great.
Product, that's for sure.
We've known each other for almost 10 years,
this
I would
is
say.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
And I didn't know much about wine except that I could drink it.
Mm. And we welcomed you into the family.
With open arms. Yeah. Yeah. You
really
opened the gate.
Yeah,
right?
Really
and
really
educated
good.
My small brain.
Yep,
and now you've created a monster.
What have you learned, Brent? Tell us a couple of things about wine that you've learned over the last 10 years.
Delicious.
Uh-huh.
Especially when paired with certain things.
Okay.
And it doesn't give me nearly as much of a hangover or make me feel as tired as beer does.
Oh.
Yeah.
And it's all about kind of just being a little bit lighter on your feet as far as drinking the wine a little bit, not as heavy as beer. So we always have a good time, you know, having a couple glasses of wine together.
Absolutely.
689 being one of those wines.
Staple.
Curtis, if I'm a novice wine drinker and I'm going to the old liquor store, what should I be looking for?
Really, how I always kind of steer people in that direction, it's either you make a commitment to white or you make a commitment to red. Okay, as far as the flavor profile goes, Pinot Noirs are always great. I make a wine called Submission, plugging that a little bit here.
Yep.
And that's really a nice, light, easy wine to get to. It goes well with all kinds of Alberta beef up here, so that's always kind of nice on that side.
Is pairing wine with food key, or maybe that's a little overrated? Because I've heard two schools of thought on that.
It can be overrated to a certain extent. What I try and do really is have the wine and the food kind of go together. So I don't want wine to overpower anything as far as what's coming out of the kitchen.
Sure.
You kind of have a chef in one side of it, and you have a winemaker in the other. And it's always about trying to bring those two together. Doing a winemaker's dinner tonight at the Wild that we got. Plug that a little bit there.
Attaboy.
And, you know, it's just, it's always fun to kind of bring things together as far as being a winemaker and somebody in the kitchen cooking food. And if you can get those two to come together, it makes for a great evening.
I have noticed, like, throughout the years, I don't know, maybe this just because of my age, but
I think the snobbery around wine has gone away than maybe it was, you know, 20, 30 years ago, in that people are there. This is what I like. And again, it's all about learning what the flavors are, what thing. Because when somebody goes, oh, I can really taste the jammy notes in that, it's like, shut up.
I want to get you.
Like, I want to punch you. But, again, the more wine you try, then you can, kind of refine your palate. You can taste it a little bit. Because, again, it's all about personal preference when it's all said and done.
You got it. It's kind of funny you mentioned that, because from my side of things, that's one of the things that when I started the winery in 2008, I was really trying to poke a little bit of fun at winemaking and the wine side of things as far as the snobbery goes. And I continue to do that with a couple of the different wines that we make: Submission, Lucky Draw, Killer Drop, Devil's Candy. And these are all kind of trying to take away a little bit of that side of things as far as it goes. So really approachable and easy to get to. And that's kind of the style that we have with everything we do.
Now, Brent mentioned you grew up in wine country in Moose Jaw.
Well, you know, there's a little bit of history here.
I'm not sure
how far we want to go with that. But actually, my family back in the day, my great-grandfather had a brewery there, and the Depression kind of wiped them out a little bit, ended up in California eventually. And booze was always kind of in our blood as far as the family goes. And I eventually got to winemaking and all that. And a little bit of history there, you know, Moose Jaw and Regina and that little area. So a lot of fun. Good to be here for sure.
Napa Valley. You know, Moose Jaw, it's pretty much the same.
Bordeaux.
The Okanagan.
Bordeaux.
Soil.
It's all that same.
Growing season.
Where can people find your wine?
So our distributor here, Merrim Wines, we've got it at a number of different locations. I think Britannia is a great spot to find our wine. I think Highlander has it as well. So we're pretty well distributed here in the marketplace. And 689 has always been kind of that crowd pleaser that people just love to go to. They're just kind of really trying to get into enjoying wine and having a good time with it.
There he is, Curtis McBride from 689 Cellars. Thanks for educating us a little bit.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. Really appreciate it.
Okay. Our lock of the day is brought to you by Metal Supermarkets Calgary, offering a large variety of metal types and shapes, cut to any size and ready fast. Metal Supermarkets Calgary, the convenience store for metal, located on 50th Avenue Southeast. Yesterday, there was a pair of cracker matches in UEFA Champions League. Woo! That Arsenal-Bayern Munich game. Ooh, and that Man City-Real Madrid. Oh, my goodness. You want to talk about soccer played at its highest level. Brent Cron was just blowing up my phone all day yesterday early afternoon.
Was he able to find the games?
Probably, because there's a game today. I think it's going to be a goal fest again, Patrick.
I hope not.
PSG and Barcelona.
Okay, that one can be score fest.
I'm going to take the over 2.5 goals. I think it's going to be a goal fest today. PSG, the favorites at home. I'm going to take some UEFA Champions League. Let's see some goals between PSG and Barcelona.
Oh,
lock it in.
You can pretty much guarantee that one. Yeah. I mean, we've had this discussion, George.
Yeah.
Yeah. Low-hanging fruit over there.
Well, you watch so much Barcelona.
Yeah. I do.
Yeah. Listen, you and I were out at lunch, and you saw.
No,
Kylian
you're
Mbappe.
Always at Barcelona. Oh, sorry, that's my bad. Oh, I mixed that up.
Go ahead.
Me? Yes. Up next? I wrote it down here. Hold on. Four legs.
What?
Yep. Feeling bold. Hit plus 400 yesterday, so we're feeling good. Yusei Kikuchi on the bump. The Mariners do not play very well, especially with the bats in their hands. They have not been great this year. I'm going to take Kikuchi to go over 5.5 Ks. I'm going to take Kikuchi under 4.5 hits. And just to add a little bit of juice, I'm going to take Justin Turner and Vladdy over 0.5 hit.
Okay. Patrick, where are we going?
Diamondbacks to cover the 1.5 versus the Colorado Rockies, and Lourdes Gurriel Jr. to go over 1.5 total bases.
Ooh, okay, love it.
GVP? Just going to be attacking the Rockies in this segment, hey, for like ever.
Yeah. Like they're pretty
like
bad.
If I'm ever looking for something to do, it's like, well, whoever the Rockies are playing on the run line.
Chris Bryant made a bad call there.
Terrible.
He got paid though. He's fine. Go ahead, GVP.
I'm going to take a look at the Milwaukee Bucks taking on the Orlando Magic here in this one. The Magic are actually a pretty underrated team when it comes to scoring. Giannis is going to be day-to-day with a calf injury. Doesn't sound like he's going to play in this one. I like a lot of points in this game. Going to take the over. It is set at... Hold on a second here.
Stalling while you look stuff
up. Yes.
Where is the line?
That over 215.5.
Listen,
there we go.
Brent Cron has told me that Pablo Banchero is probably like the most underrated superstar in the NBA.
By far.
Yeah, we had a phone
big
call
Jalen
about it.
Suggs guy.
Yeah. A whole phone call.
Yeah. He's a big Magic guy.
Yeah. Like what? Like,
monster Magic.
Brent Cron Magic is so could be upset on Clay Thompson. The Raptors took Scottie Barnes over Jalen Suggs.
Mm. Lost my mind,
he's
actually.
Like, I couldn't believe
tore
it.
My jersey.
But then it was ultimately a good move for the Raptors.
Magic might be getting Clay Thompson in the summer. Really? He'll be a
he's
player.
He actually had a really bounce back second
he'll
half
be a player.
Of the season.
Hey, he was, what, 5-for-10 from three yesterday?
He's now fourth in the NBA in threes made. Go ahead.
I'm going back to the bump myself.
The bump?
The diamond?
The diamond.
Yeah. You going to toe the rubber?
I'm going to toe the rubber here with some heat. The Jays and Mariners. The line is 8.5. I'm taking the over.
Okay, why?
Because I think they're going to do great. That's why. Yeah. Joe Carter's bat's really going to show up today.
Yeah,
and Roberto Alomar is just going to jam it down their throat. Okay, that's what's going to happen.
Candy Maldonado, man, he's killing
Pat
it.
Pat Borders is going to throw people out with that giant dip in his mouth.
Yep.
Be great.
There you go. There's a lot for the day.
Juan Guzman?
you know you're doing the show with me on Friday?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we're talking to Shai Davidi.
I'm going to have to spice up my game a little bit here.
Yeah, he's only like one of the most respected baseball people in the country.
I know. That's why you're bringing me on Friday, right? I mean,
talk to
else?
Him about the new Renos.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to carry the interview. Is that what
you're
saying?
Pretty much. I'm going to take a lap while you do that. I'm going to go have a dart outside.
Okay.
And then come back in.
Crush a heater.
Smash a heater.
The lock of the day is brought to you by Metal Supermarkets Calgary, offering a large variety of metal types and shapes, cuts any size and ready fast. Metal Supermarkets Calgary, the convenience store for metal, located on 50th Avenue. Southeast. What do you got coming up in Mucho Big Show?
Owen Newkirk, Dallas Stars pre- and post-game host over the 96.7 The Ticket in Dallas. Going to talk some Stars. They're getting closer and closer to a Central Division title.
They're a wagon.
They're a very good team. Very good.
You should put him on the spot and see if he remembers me, because I don't know him. But you should just say, hey, we have Brent Cron in studio.
I don't know if he was around when
he
you...
Wasn't.
Yeah, no.
Not at all.
No.
But I'm just saying the lore maybe around
yeah,
American
maybe.
Like,
maybe they talk about him. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
the one game I played.
Yeah, probably.
Remember that game against Chicago? He came in?
Yeah.
For 19 minutes? Yeah. Remember the guys who played behind Marty Turco? Yeah.
No, most of us
don't.
What a guy. What a great guy.
What about the guys
guy
down
is?
In Iowa?
Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you get your favorite podcast. Rate, review, subscribe and stuff. That's cool, too. Don't forget our Sportsnet 960 The Fan Masters pool. Enter that mofo.
I will.
As quickly as possible.
Excuse me. Wow. I don't think that you should wait till tomorrow because then it'll be locked.
Yeah.
You won't be able to make any picks. So that would be your loss.
Do it as quickly as possible.
Probably got till midnight today.
Do it as quickly as possible.
I know what I'm doing there, too. So.
Oh, do you?
Let's go.
What? Nice.
Yeah, who's your favorite to win the tournament?
I'm winning. That's what I'm going to do.
No, but who's your
winning.
Favorite to win the Masters?
Who's the guy that you say that it's him versus everybody
Scott
else?
Scheffler.
Scotty Scheffler.
Scheffler. Yeah. Yeah, that's that guy. I'm taking
Tiger
him.
Woods.
Maybe Jordan Spieth.
Oh.
Spieth.
As my dark horse.
You know, he's the last guy who kind of moves the needle outside of Tiger Woods in golf.
Yeah.
When Jordan Spieth's in contention, ratings for golf go up. People love Jordan Spieth.
And he's temperamental.
Although he dresses like a dad on the golf course.
Well, he's the most chaotic person.
He'll tee off at 11:48.
Did you see some of his holes last weekend?
Some of the shots he pulls off are unreal.
He needs a sweater tied around his shoulders to play golf.
He does. He looks like that.
Yeah. His move is gray pants, navy blue shirt. Lock that in like your dad would. Yeah, he's got the fashion sense of a dad out there. It's all right.
Nothing wrong with that.
He's got a flower shirt. He was warming up in a flower shirt
most
on the range.
Yeah, was he wearing loafers when he showed up?
Like, look at Ricky.
No, he's got a vest.
Ricky's got the good drip.
I would
on the
say
course.
That there's like 15% of professional golfers that have good drip.
It's because he's an Under Armour guy.
You don't like Patrick Cantlay with his Goldman Sachs hat?
I would shoot him in the sun.
Minwoo Lee's got good drip. He's the first Lululemon.
I also like when they wear net jets, because who doesn't get on their phone and book a private jet?
Golfers do.
PJ? Yeah. All right. Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, whatever. Rate and review, subscribe and stuff. And go into Oilers Reddit because they're trashing us on Oilers Reddit. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
From 2 days ago?
Yeah, they're still trashing us. Oh, yeah. They did a Reddit post on us.
Didn't like the rant.
Oh, well.
I don't know. Everything I said was the truth.
It's accurate, so that must hurt.
That's why you don't like it.
First round sweep, kids.
Yep. People don't like to hear the truth,
bro. They don't.
All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.
Sit, Ubu. Sit. Good dog.